Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This is a podcast from our summer leadership training school. Hope you enjoy.
It's like supernatural revelation. Can we do a little 5 minutes of meditation, meaning this? You read the verse, I want you to pray it. Here's what that means when you pray the word of the Lord. When you read something like the voice of the Lord is powerful, you say back to the Lord, thank you that your voice is powerful in my life and to the generation that I'm ministering to right now. Lord, I ask that this would manifest itself through me, that your voice would be powerful. Any area in my life that's like a cedar that needs to be broken, let your voice break it in my life. The cedars in my generation, break them now in Jesus' name. Lord, your voice flashes forth like flames of fire. Lord, let your word be like a fire in my bones like it was with Jeremiah. It's a little bit different than reading the verse and going, skips like a calf. That's kind of interesting. Okay, let's move on. But you actually meditate on it. You think about it. You pray. You know what I want you to write is anything that the Lord highlights to you. Just anything that comes to mind. Now, if it's heresy, don't write that down. But if it's not heresy, go ahead and write it down. And when you're meditating, the Lord's going to show you things in your life and potentially through the Word. So we're going to take 5 minutes here. I'm going to set a little timer. And then we're going to jump into the teaching. Okay, we got that music ready? Yeah, you like that? Okay, go for it, guys. Okay, guys, pause. I want you guys to stand up. We've got 1 minute left before we jump into the teaching. I want you guys to stand up, and we're going to get, we call it the prayer pace, okay? And whatever you wrote down or whatever you thought in your mind, we're going to pray for the next minute just over the word of the Lord being saturated in our lives. We could be people who could be dominated by his voice. Obviously the scripture, but also by the Holy Spirit's leading. So if you want to come out of your rows just for a second, just a 1 minute prayer rumble, and we're going to pray some of the things you wrote down out loud. So just like I'm doing right now, get in that zone, and let's pray for 1 minute what you guys wrote down. Does this sound good?
Yeah.
Count of three, ready? One, two, three, go. Lord, we bless you that your voice is like water. Your voice is powerful. Your voice is majestic. Your voice breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Your voice causes the deer to give birth, Lord. Your voice causes things to happen. Your voice is like fire, Lord. God, we thank you for this in Jesus' name, and we ask that your voice would be powerful in our generation, dominating our lives, vibrant, that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us through your word, through your voice, in Jesus' name. Okay, guys, and then you can have your seats. I like to start the session this way so that we can have an expectation for a hearing from the Lord for ourselves. Guys, this is my wife. She's much better than me, cooler than me, everything. Go down the list. She is better than. As a matter of fact, any outfit, some of you have commented on my shirt today. This was my wife's doing. She dresses me. She just literally helps me with almost everything in my entire life. I love you. Do a good job.
We can only hope. Hi, guys. Stay here. I'm Chloe, and I am in my 20s. I'm here. I'm old. I'm freaking millennial.
What a bummer.
Super bummer. Probably the worst part of being alive. Just kidding. Guys, seriously, we're going to dive into hearing God's voice. It's going to be electric. Say electric. I just want to tell you guys, though, a little bit about my relationship with Derek for a second, though. Do you guys mind if I have, like, a moment in front of you? We should hold hands for this.
Okay.
You know, Derek, husband,
Take lessons, married couples.
Derek, husband, you are just so amazing. And I just want to know more about you. Like, if you could just tell me more about who you are. Derek, husband, you are amazing. And I just want to have more time with you and spend my entire life with you. Derek, husband, if you could just tell me where we're going
to
go in life,
yes,
though.
I would really like it.
Derek, husband, I just, your presence. is insane.
I would love to tell.
Oh, Derek, husband. How uncomfortable was that?
It was uncomfortable, Chloe.
Was that uncomfortable for you?
Yes.
Our relationship with Jesus is a two-way conversation. And you can sit down. Come back, or maybe sit here. I don't know. We want to do this together. Let's go. 20 minutes. Here we go. On the clock. Our relationship with Jesus is a two-way conversation. So many times in my walk with the Lord, I sit there with my very expensive journal and my very fancy pen, and I write Jesus the best letter I can at 7 a.m. with goobers in my eyes and my coffee sitting there, and I close that journal and I read two verses, and I'm like, man, what a great time. And I sometimes wonder if Jesus was like, huh, tomorrow. I'll let her know tomorrow. We'll talk tomorrow. You know?
Yeah.
I want to tell you a little story. So I am Chloe, and our relationship's not like that, I promise. praise God. I got really blessed to marry Derek, guys. Just really fast. I loved Jesus when I met Derek, but he was way more on fire than me. And so I faked it till I made it in our dating, like for a good month. Like I was like reading every book he ever recommended. I was like trying so hard to prove I love Jesus. But marry someone that provokes you. It's a good journey. Anyway, I'm Chloe. Obviously, my family's been around the Circuit Riders. We're part of the Circuit Rider family. My parents are absolutely instrumental in this whole thing. And this is so cool. My brothers, Nick, Spencer, Josh, Riders. Let's go. Growing up, my dad was in business, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She struggled with illness, and God called them radically to ministry. And the first ministry they ever did was to a university campus nearby their house. My mom would have Bible studies, and 100 girls would fill her living room. And my dad, he was all about, you know, reaching the lost. And he would do these events. He did this event with a flatbed truck, and they had the side off, and they did a concert in there. And some guy preached the gospel. Maybe it was my dad. I don't know. So many people got saved that they started a church. My parents were absolutely new to the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural. My dad, honestly, at the time, didn't really believe in the gifts that much, although he loved the Holy Spirit. And as they started this church, God started moving so much that they could not deny the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to tell you this story. One day, my mom, we're young kids, she's just doing mom stuff, and she starts to feel the weighty presence of God. And she goes drama mode. It's like a blanket. And she starts going down, and she gets glued to the ground for hours and hours. I always want to ask, like, what were we doing? Like, just running around with our heads cut off, like, because we were crazy. But she's glued on the floor for hours, and she's like, what is happening? And she gets up from that. Dad comes home from work, and she's like, my ear is really hot. Like, it's uncomfortably warm. And, you know, goes about her day, cooking dinner, all the stuff. And she keeps going, man, my ear is super hot. After dinner, my dad goes, do you think God wants to talk to you? Now, at the time, they only knew one person that operated in the prophetic. And my mom was like, totally. I think this is God wanting to talk to me. And so they're like, how do we hear him? You know, what should we do? And at the time, I was a toddler, and I was drama mode. I, in their words, I struggled with depression as a toddler. And I cried all the time for no reason. There's this legendary picture of me at Disneyland with, like, Peter Pan, and I'm sobbing. And, like, hated my life at all times. And my dad's like, let's see if God would tell us what's going on with Chloe. And so for the very first time, they bow their heads, and my dad just starts praying and goes, God, would you speak to us? Would you show us what's going on with Chloe's depression? And this is where it gets rated wild. My mom bows her head, and she sees a picture suddenly of a spirit of depression standing in my bedroom over my bed. Never seen a picture before. She just went right to warfare. And they ask another question. God, why is this spirit of depression there? And they start hearing some things about the generations in the past. And they start praying them off. Well, next morning, I get up out of bed, run to their bedroom, and start jumping on their bed. And in their words, never struggled with it again. Amazing. Some of you, I've seen people like Todd Wyatt, or I don't know who your guy is, the guy that does the phone numbers. I forget his name, Sean Bowles, or I don't know who these guys are. I'm always super impressed by them. But Jesus wants to talk to you. This is not a superpower, okay? Hearing God's voice is not some superpower, some super crazy thing. It is our everyday walk. So we're going to dive in real practically and really quickly into some basics, but I want to say this before anything. I'm going to tell you about how we hear God's voice from the Bible and all this, and it's so good, it's so great, and hopefully you can write an essay on it. But how you really hear God's voice is childlike faith. It really is the ticket. You can know all about it and make your apologetics video and everything, but if you don't have a measure of faith or desire to hear him, it's going to be, we call it lights out. You ever ask God for something and it's just black screens? So can we stir up our faith a little bit? Yeah. All right, let's do it. Okay, and jump in when you want, you know. John 10:4. This is classic. Y'all heard this one. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. As we spend time with Jesus, we will recognize when he speaks to us. Our spirits will recognize, they will testify that the shepherd is leading us. Many of the times when we think about the prophetic, maybe some of us think about the Old Testament prophets, right? The guy laying on his side for like a year, you know. I think he ate poop.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
No, he cooked over poop.
He laid on it.
I don't know. We got to look into it. You know, the prophet who, Hosea marrying the prostitute, we think of these insane things. However, as we follow Jesus and get to know him, we find that his voice is actually very natural. Almost said supernatural, but it's just very natural. It is supernatural. Yeah. How do we know that Jesus still speaks? Are you ready for this? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Throughout the Bible, we see story after story of God speaking to those he loves. The book of Hebrews assures us that Jesus has not changed from when he walked on the earth. Thus, we can conclude that he still speaks to his children today. If you look throughout scripture, we see a God who is very verbal. He is showing himself. He wants to say things. He wants to approach you and freak you out and say something that you're not thinking. He is very in your face. Acts 2:17-18, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Say, they will prophesy.
They will prophesy.
Say it with spunk. They will prophesy.
They will prophesy.
Guys, we are those people.
Amen.
We are those people. I feel like more and more I'm hearing stories of like people's kids having crazy encounters with angels and the supernatural. Like it's just increasing. It's crazy. So don't miss out. Let's tap into it. All right. Now this is really why we're talking. There are so many ways God speaks. And I don't know about you. I've seen those documentaries. You guys see that documentary where the guy heard the audible voice of God every day and he like followed the spirit every morning? Literally, he would wake up with God saying, go to this location and preach the gospel to this guy. And I'm watching that like, dang, I'm going to get that anointing. But the truth is, God speaks in so many different ways. And the more that we are aware of that, the more we begin to hear him.
Yes.
So we're just going to go down the list. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Number one, impression. A gentle feeling in your inner being. It's like a gut feeling, a sensing. Has any of you ever had an impression before?
Yeah.
When my little brother, I was in middle school, and my younger brother, Spencer, went to camp. And when he came home, I just had this sense something was wrong. He did something real bad at camp. So I opened the front door when he came home, and I said, what did you do? And he started crying, and he goes, this is hilarious. There was a kid, he was in sixth grade, there was a kid in his class, his name rhymed with a cuss word. So the whole camp, they were calling him the cuss word. It was the first time he cussed.
But anyway, I'll just say, I didn't have a vision. I didn't have a picture. I just had the sense, you know, and he literally, like, weeped and weeped and repented for days and never cussed again. But how many of you ever had that gut feeling that you cannot shake? That's an impression. Number two, a vision, seeing a snapshot or a still image with the eyes of your heart, seeing several images together, much like a movie. How many of you just, you're getting your original design and the staff are closing their eyes and seeing these awesome pictures for you and you're like, what the heck? This is crazy. That's a vision. Sometimes when we think of vision, we overdo it in our minds. Like it has to be like, you know, I don't know, brilliant colors and fancy things, but it's very childlike. We're closing our eyes and God brings them to our hearts. How many of you have ever had one before? Beautiful. This is crazy. Say trance. A trance is a vision in which you are playing an active role and interfacing in the vision. This is a live performance. I'm going to be honest, guys. I had a trance one time. Whoa. This is crazy. Is this fine?
Yes.
You support this? I went to the UK with my mom on a trip. I was probably 12 years old. And I just failed math class because I was lazy and I was super selfish. And my dad called and he had a rebuke for me. He goes, you've been so lazy, you've been so sassy, so selfish. And you know, I was busted. And he hangs up the phone and my mom is over there and she took a sleeping pill and was knocked out. How many of you guys know that feeling when you're in trouble and you just like want to get rid of that feeling? It's terrible. So I'm laying in bed and I'm in deep, deep trouble. And all of a sudden, I never even knew this was happening. With my eyes open, I see this. It was like a movie went right in front of me. And I'm sitting on this merry-go-round, and I'm going around and around. And I say, life is all about me. It's all about me. And I'm going, Mom! Mom, do you see this? What the heck is happening? She's just like, you know, totally knocked out. Vision goes on. There's this beautiful carriage that comes by, and all these people dressed in, like, wedding clothes. And they're going into this wedding. And I wanted to go, but life was all about me. And the vision kept going, and there's all my things in the merry-go-round. And then the lost were coming up to the merry-go-round, and I was shooing them away. Anyways, that was a marking experience I had as a 13, 12-year-old, where God started to rid me of my selfishness. Whoa. This is where it gets even crazier. Are you guys ready for something wild?
Yeah.
When my dad was passing away, and it's okay, we're talking about this, don't be afraid. When my dad was passing away, he was having so many amazing encounters with God. And one day, he was really sick, and we had to take him to the hospital. He was home. We had to call the ambulance. And he goes, where are we going? And we're like, to the hospital, Dad. He goes, we're going to a wedding. We're going to the wedding, right? Whose wedding is it? And he said, we didn't know, we just thought he was being funny. When he was a little bit better, we asked him what happened. He goes, everybody around me was wearing wedding clothes. And we were going to this wedding. And I feel like God gave me that picture as well. That when my dad started saying that, I'm like, it's freaking real. This is what my life is about. So trances don't happen every day. Don't be one of those people that's like a trance master. They're pretty big moments in life. But be expectant for them. Okay, four, dreams. Say dreams. Similar to visions or trances, but they happen while you're sleeping. How many of you feel like you've had a dream from God before? 100%. The young will dream dreams. It's going on. It's going down. How many of you have ever been given a pizza dream and somebody said it was prophetic? Oh, yeah. I had one a couple weeks ago where somebody texted me. They said, I had a dream that you gave. I hope it's none of you. I didn't have the number saved. If it is, we'll talk after. Hug it out. But they go, I had a dream that you gave birth to a beautiful baby girl and you gave it up for adoption. I really feel like this is from the Lord. And I took it to prayer. I'm like, I'm probably never going to do that to my own kid, God. Is this a spiritual baby? I thought about it for a week. I tested it. I felt it wasn't from God. Sometimes we have pizza dreams, but sometimes we have real dreams from the Lord, and we got to write them down and really ask God what they mean, tell other people, ask them to pray into it, test and weigh them, because it's insane that God speaks to us while we sleep. Okay, angelic revelation. Say angelic.
Angelic.
God communicates through an angel. Where'd it go? Either while you are asleep or you're awake. Nick's talking about Amy Ward seeing the angel dressed up in colonial clothes, right? How crazy is that? I've never seen an angel. I'm always asking God, show me them. I don't know what they look like. Say something good.
The only thing I'll say about the angel one is when you're in an environment where we're wanting to hear from God, obviously the word, the Bible, if nothing is attested to in the Bible, then you can just chuck it out right away. There's no point in keeping it because everything's supposed to confirm what's already been written, and it's supposed to align you with it, okay? And so when we talk about angels here, okay, some people are under the impression that, oh, there's just an angel in the corner, and there's angels here and angels there, and I just see them. And anytime an angel shows up in the Bible, it's a terrifying thing. And when an angel shows up, most of the people that see them have a really hard life afterwards, and they have or get asked really hard things. So when she's talking about things like angels and trances, it's not just for fun. Sometimes people have this because it's like a fun experience, but in the Bible, these are like the most undeniable, ridiculous things. Like when Daniel saw the archangel Michael, he was sick for 7 days. Right. Some people are like, I saw an angel. And I'm like, well, is your stomach exploding right now? Like, what's happening to you? Like, did you fall down and die like John did? Did you lay on the ground and try to worship it and it rebuked you? Like, what happened there? So when we're talking about angels, if we're asking for God to send you an angel for some reason, then you're asking God to send you a really awesomely hard assignment where you need an angel to show up so that you continue. Hence why the circle rider word has an angel attached to it, because this assignment has been pretty ridiculous. So that's a little thing on angels.
Guys, I was just with somebody and they were telling me this encounter. Can I tell you this? It made me giggle. And because in the Bible, we got to make sure if we're seeing an angel or a heavenly creature, we ask, are you from God? Because there were some angels that visited some people that created some crazy cults, Moroni.
This is how the Mormon religion got started. Is this angel showed up to Joseph Smith in the bushes, and this angel was named Moroni. And if an angel shows up to you and its name is Moron, don't listen to it. And gave him all these golden plates, couldn't bring them with him, lost them, had to write down his own revelation. And that's it. Basically what the angel told him is the Bible's been corrupted and you need some more revelation to attach to it. And that's how the religion of Mormonism got started. So just a little, angels do show up as angels of light, says Paul. They don't want to just show up, I'm a demon, follow me. And you're like, okay, Buddhism sounds good today, I'm right over here, right? That's not how Satan wants to show up to you. He wants to deceive you by giving you half-truth, half-truth, half-truth until you have no truth.
So I'm with this girl, and she's telling me about this experience that was really powerful. She's out by a river, and suddenly a thing, a creature of some kind appears wearing overalls and has like a piece of hay in their mouth. And she goes, are you Jesus? And the character goes, no. She goes, who are you? I forget the name. It was an interesting name. And she goes, the creature thing goes, you need to take Jesus to therapy. And you need to question him, why he's done all these things to you. And the girl was jacked. She was like, I do. So she went home from that experience and then took Jesus to therapy. And with the Holy Spirit mediating, she goes, why did Jesus, not allow me to get married? Why did I have that miscarriage? Why this? And she's like accusing Jesus and says a crazy awesome experience. And I'm staring at her going, girl, friend, let's rewind. Who was that thing that visited you? Because that doesn't sound biblical to me, baby. I'm just so confused. The overalls, the hay. Anyhow, if you're listening on the podcast, I'm sorry I brought it up again. Okay. audible voice. I mentioned this before. Sometimes God communicates us by allowing us to audibly hear his voice. This is incredible. Don't you want that one?
Yeah.
Derek's dad, before we got married, wasn't really following the Lord. And he just had a kind of tragic experience after tragic experience. And he's laying in bed and he audibly hears, you've wasted your life. Whoa. Changed his life.
Wow.
He repented and is walking on fire, came to our wedding, and it was insane. It was a moment, marking moment. So just like trances and all these things, they're big deals when God uses his voice to talk to you. Scriptures, say scriptures.
Scriptures.
God's written word speaks directly to your heart, either while you're reading it or when it comes to mind later. Have you guys ever had this experience where you're like having fear or something and a Bible verse comes in your brain and you're like, how did that happen? I memorized that? No way. Do you know what I'm talking about? God uses scripture a ton, the most, to speak to us. That is our daily bread that we get to open, and he enlightens the eyes of our heart.
So good.
If anyone ever tells you that they're not hearing God's voice, you just hold this up and you go, what? And if they want to dive into it a little bit more, you have to explain to people that, like I said earlier, that this right here, right? I can get it wrong for you. I can get the interpretation wrong. See, the one of the bad things about, you know, being a prophetic person, which I'm more of the prophetic doorknob side of things. She's more of the prophetic wizard side of things. That's just how it goes in our relationship. I kind of hear like, are we supposed to go somewhere? I hear like, yes. If she asks the Lord, then she has three dreams about it. And so that's how those things go, right? But I can sit here and try to interpret her dreams, or she can try to interpret my words and all this different stuff. And that's where you can get it wrong in the prophetic. Most of the time, the prophetic is messed up in interpretation. Nick talked about this, or someone talked about this the other day, right? You hear, you're supposed to be a preacher. And then you come up to me afterwards, and you just like stare at me, and you just kind of look at the microphone, and just like, did you hear that word? It's like you don't understand that, like, God might have a 20-year journey for you in order to hold a microphone. You don't realize that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so the interpretation is so important, all to align us back to the word. If someone tells you you're supposed to be a preacher, that means that that's like a signpost to you that you better be in the word.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to say to people if you're going to preach?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go down the list of all these different things. So when it comes to what she's saying about prophetic in general, is we're realigning ourselves always to the word, and you're never not hearing his voice because you always have this.
Yeah.
And this is fresh. It's sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. Now, we take that as a watchword and a nice little phrase that we can put on the pictures of our walls, but this thing is alive. Do you believe that? That it has a heartbeat?
Yeah, yeah.
That it's speaking to you about someone? That when you go to it, it's going to give you fresh revelation, and you're going to read John 1 again. You go, in the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you go, oh my gosh, once again, there's a Word in this beginning, and it's Jesus Christ. And this Word shows up on the scene. He's got flesh and bone, and he's still alive today. And this is his representation. This is how he's decided to reveal himself to me, is through this book. Take that into consideration when you hear someone say, I'm not hearing from God right now.
Just whack him with the Bible. I had this crazy thing happen to me. How many of you guys have ever, well, don't do this actually. I wrote this song called Found in You. And if you've heard it, it's on the Jesus People record.
Ooh,
all that has been lost, I found in you. You're the only one that could break through. You made my darkest night a stage for you. Now every breath of mine is praise to you. So I wrote this song. Not really with my mind. I sat down at the piano and it just kind of popped out. And I was like, wow, that's a word. Thank you, Jesus. And then COVID happened. And I go, oh, this song's for people in COVID. All that they've lost, their jobs, their money, all these things, whatever. I'm like, cool. That was a prophetic song, God. And then when my dad passed away, I go, oh, you gave me that song. And it's prophetic about the rest of my life. All that has been lost, I'm going to find in you. You made my darkest night. This is the darkest thing I could ever go through. A stage for you. So sometimes the Lord speaks also in ways that we might not figure out right away what it means. It might take years to figure out what it means. And that's the super fun part of the prophetic. You're on this journey where you're hunting. God, what are you saying? What are you doing? When you did that 4 years ago, what did that mean? I haven't seen the fulfillment yet. It's freaking awesome. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Say, especially.
Especially.
Are you honest to yourself right now? Are you truly, eagerly desiring the prophetic? Are you just kind of hoping it happens, or do you eagerly desire it? For that, for me, that looks like literally sitting in my bed in my quiet time and going, God, what's on your heart? Show me. I want to hear it. Sometimes I'll start praying in the spirit and just going, God, I want to hear, I want to hear, I want to hear your heart. And this is what we're going to talk about next. When we go to hear God's heart, we have to have a clean whiteboard. Okay? How many of you guys... You know, I'm wanting to go to Europe as a missionary, and I'm like, so desperately want to go to Europe, and the Eiffel Tower is so cool, and I go to my prayer time, like, God, where do you want to send me? Show me Europe, show me Europe, show me Europe, show me Europe. I think I see an Eiffel Tower. We're going. We have to clean our whiteboards. Like, God, I've got this desire, and I'm putting it aside. I killed it. Lord, I want this, I want that, I want that. I clean it. Tell me whatever you want. And that is music to God's ear. He's like, whatever I want? Okay, here we go. So we got to clean our whiteboards. How many of you have ever received a prophetic word and it was like almost encouraging, but there was some weird sauce in it? Sometimes we don't clean our whiteboards. We can also operate in the prophetic in a discouraging way. Say I have a lot of fear of failure in my life, and I'm praying for Derek, and I'm like, Lord, you know, what do you want to say to Derek? I'm like, man, Derek, I just feel like you're going to do such amazing things, and there's obstacles coming, and they're going to get you down, and you're going to struggle, and you might fail, but God's got you, baby. You're doing it. Sometimes we prophesy. That's what it says. We prophesy in part. We hear in part. We don't always hear the whole thing. Sometimes we have influencing factors that we got to just erase. Last one on this, just to add in here. God is most likely not going to tell you who you're going to marry. I'll promise you that. So if you feel like you're having dream after dream after dream, just tell yourself, I'm in love and I keep having dreams about this guy, right? Rather than going, they're my spouse and everybody better know I'm claiming them. I had a guy one time, bless you if you're hearing this podcast, He thought he was going to marry me because some prophetic encounters. And one time he told me, he goes, I saw our children in your womb. It was scary. It was so scary. It was so frightening. But I felt bound. Like, I'm marrying this man. It's going down. God has spoken. And the Lord's like... It wasn't Derek. That's why I married Derek. I had no prophetic words about marrying Derek. Amen. Right before I got engaged, I was in Walmart with my dad. I go, Dad, I'm so in love with Derek, but I got no dreams, no visions, no confirmations about this. I'm going blind. He goes, perfect. That's the way God wants it, because your choice is going to be super powerful. Your covenant is going to be more meaningful. We sat with a couple just a while ago, not in Circuit Riders, and they were talking about how hard their marriage was. They weren't friends really and all these things. And the girl goes, well, we got married because God told us to. And you're like, darn, man. That's tough. Now you got to become friends and fall in love. Anyway. Anyhow. Okay. Say bind up. Bind up. We have to bind up the flesh when we hear from the Lord. We're talking and just bind up any outside spirits. How many of you know the devil hates people? When we go to pray for them, maybe the devil wants to get in there and give a little sauce. So we got to bind up. And I just literally prayed out loud, Lord, before I hear from you, I bind up my flesh. I silence it. And I silence the enemy's voice. I don't want to hear the devil right now. That's right. In Jesus' name. Speak up. As God speaks to you, ask him specific questions throughout the day. And pray that he will speak to you in dreams. Ask him questions throughout your day. In the bathroom, in the car, in the restaurant, whatever. Always be having this dialogue. Every night for a season in high school before I went to bed, I said, God, give me a dream. Speak to me in dreams. Speak to me in dreams. And I felt, I was in this service one time with Lou Engle. He talks about the dream stream, if you know him. And he goes, there's a mantle of dreams falling on our generation. And I just said, in Jesus' name, I want that. I claim it. And I've been having dreams ever since then. And they're trouble and they're awesome. Okay. We are going to get to doing practical stuff because you guys get it. Are there any questions I want everybody to hear from the Lord today. So I don't want any questions holding you back, any confusion, any questions. Add more.
When we're talking about hearing God's voice and prophecy specifically, we don't have time to break down the differences between Old Testament prophet and New Testament prophecy, but there is a difference. And Old Testament prophets were the voice of the Lord to the country, to the nation state of Israel. Yeah. And so that's a big difference between what you're doing in this time and what you're hearing the voice of the Lord for. You're not literally hearing the voice of the Lord for Joe Biden saying, "Thus saith the Lord to you, Joe Biden, right now." Though the earthquake is coming and you're like, "Oh my gosh." And, right? And so the difference between New Testament and Old Testament prophecy is very, very simple. Old Testament prophecy was authoritative and binding on the people. New Testament prophecy is sitting underneath the teaching of the apostles. So Paul tells Timothy, don't despise prophecy, which is an interesting phrase, isn't it? Yeah. Have you ever despised prophecy? I have. I look at people and I go, you're weird, I'm not listening to you, you're strange. Anybody ever done this? Is it just me? Oh, yeah. And so, right, you start to despise it because of either the person that it comes from, or it's like, why do you have to have bad breath when you say it to me? Or why do you sometimes have such bad Bible teaching as well attached to your prophecy? It's like all these different things, right, that make you want to despise it. But Paul says, don't despise prophecy, but test everything.
Yeah.
So meaning that the thing that you're hearing has to be tested according to something. And it's the teaching of the apostles and the prophets from the Old Testament. So as long as it's tested and falls in line with what the Word of God says. So if someone says to you, hey, I have a word for you. You don't need to preach. You don't need to share the gospel. You don't need to disciple people. What do you go? No. That doesn't line up with the Word of God, because Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So I know it's something to be doing. I don't care what you're telling me about my season of rest. In the New Testament, season of rest is not about me sleeping on the ground for 6 months. It's about me entering into grace. And that's how I find rest, so I can work hard. Don't come to me with your wonky stuff, right? And so, but if someone comes to you and says, hey, I feel that the Lord's calling you as a communicator of the gospel, and it's going to be in North Africa, and you're going to be a missionary there, and the Lord's going to provide for you in radical ways. Well, you go, okay, yes, messenger, that makes sense. That lines up with the Word of God. North Africa, that's right in line with the Great Commission. If I seek first the kingdom of God, he will add everything that I need. Yes, all of those things line up. I'm going to take that to the bank right there, and I'm going to ask other people to pray into it with me. Does this make sense? So when you're hearing for someone, this is a safe environment to fail. If you hear something like, hey, I heard you're, you know, supposed to be a pizza man driver for the next 6 years, and you're like, thank you, you know, and you can simply say, that's awesome that you know, that's great, wow, take that to, you know, someone else, and maybe that's for them, you know, right? And you can, it's a safe place to fail in this environment. No one's going to pull out stones here. And so as we practice this in a minute, Chloe's going to explain this, as we practice this in a minute, it's a safe environment. Don't pull out stones. Don't throw them at people, okay?
So good.
Safeguarding the prophetic. It's so real. One more other thing. I'm going to say two more cheat codes. Say cheat codes.
Cheat codes.
It's sometimes tempting to find out something about someone and then prophesy.
Oh.
This happens sometimes. Like, Derek, I think you're called to speak, man. God's got a real speaking anointing for you. You're going to speak all over the world. I just heard him speak. Like, hello.
Yeah.
I can say, hey, I have an encouragement for you. Right? Rather than prophecy. That's where we let the enemy kind of get a little comes in, because we got pride and we want to be seen some cool way. Right? So stay away from that. It closes down the voice of the Lord. The other thing we want to stay aware of is, have you ever really been seeking God on something and he's not speaking? And you're like, you're staying there. You're just like, God, speak to me, speak to me. That happened to me in a long season. And I'm like, Dad, God's not speaking to me. And he goes, he doesn't want to talk about that. Have you ever just stopped and asked him, God, what do you want to talk about? And I did that. It was like a whole other subject. A lot of times I find him doing that when I want to talk about my strongholds too. I've got, you know, maybe fear, anxiety. I'm like, Lord, just help me get rid of my fear. What do you want to say? Just prove to me it's all going to be okay. And he's like, nope. Ask me about what's on my heart. I want to talk about the lost. It's going to be okay. You're going to get rid of your fear if you do this. Right?
Wow.
So let's break up in groups of three, girls with girls, guys with guys, if possible. Stand up. Look at each other. Get in groups. We're gonna go for about 10, 15 minutes of fun here.
One, if you're hearing from God and you're not sure, how do you go about asking for confirmation? And then the second, has there ever been a time when you thought you heard from God and it wasn't?
Yes, for sure.
I think those are good questions. Why don't you do 10 minutes of this and then we'll answer those two questions so everybody knows.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, once you're in your group, put your hand up. Put your hand up. You guys can sit on the ground. And we're going to answer one or two questions at the very end because I'm sure you got them. And guys, I'm just a donkey for the Lord. I have heard wrong from God so many times. I'm a donkey for the Lord. I'm a servant. Guys, literally I had a season where I was like really freshly walking in the prophetic. And every lost person I went up to, I was like, does your mom have cancer? I just have a word. It was never, I never found one person with cancer, guys. Okay, guys, getting your original design was so fun, so we're going to do that for each other here and get one encouragement for each other. So raise your hand if you want to go first. Raise it high. Come on. Raise it high. Raise it high. Raise it high. Raise it high. I'm just going to facilitate this time together. Okay. So they're in the hot seat. We're going to hear for them. Everybody else in the group, be expectant to hear. And I'm going to ask the Lord, can we get quiet for a moment? Shh. Hush. Quiet coyote. Okay. All right, I'm going to ask the Lord. Jesus, we just thank you so much for this person's design, who they are made to be, that there is not another person on the planet ever been, ever will be like them. And we just ask right now that you would speak, that you would show pictures, that you would give impressions of who you've designed this person to be, in Jesus' name. And once you see something, just go for it. Let them know. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Wrap it up, baby. Okay. How many of you heard something super cool for someone? Give a raise of hand, a shout, a holla. How many of you heard something? You're gonna have to tell them later. Write it in your phone memo, do something else. How many of you feel like you heard something for the very first time today? It's the first time you felt you could step out in this. Wow, come on, baby. That's so awesome. I'm gonna ask a crazy question. How many of you did not see anything and you're sitting there and you're like, I didn't see nothing? Raise your hand real boldly. Okay? Okay? Okay, awesome. Will you guys stand?
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Come on now.
Stand up.
Yeah, let's go. Hallelujah.
We honor you. I love that. We do. If you didn't hear anything from the Lord, you know what? I feel like he wants to speak to you, wants to open your ears. So can everybody extend your hands towards one of these amazing people? And we are going to pray. I feel like actually God's calling them out because he wants to really use them. So let's pray for unleashing over their ears to hear. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Jesus, we just ask that you would loose these ears to hear from you in Jesus' name. Anything standing in the way, we rebuke it now in Jesus' name. We thank you for the gift that you want to give them right now in the name of Jesus. Okay, we're going to do one last exercise. Sit back down, and we're going to be done. We are going to pray for revival on university campuses. We got 3 more minutes. And I'm going to ask the Lord to show you how you can pray for the universities of America. And I believe he's going to speak to you. Is that cool? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's do it. So Jesus, right now, we just thank you for Gen Z. We thank you for what you're doing all across America on universities. The revival you're going to pour out. And we just ask that you would speak clearly right now to each one of us what you want to do, what you want to see. How can we pray for revival on universities in Jesus' name? Okay, we're going to move fast because of time. But raise your hand if you heard, you felt like you heard something, you felt something. Will you stand up and share with us what you heard?
Yeah. And so my job is to like intercede for her and just like support
her. Dang. That's freaking awesome. Anybody else hear something? Stand up and share.
All right, so I heard right away that God is going to be giving, he's going to be passing out keys to certain universities, and whoever asks him for a key to the university, like, he will give it to them. And I felt even that, like, someone's going to ask for a key to a university, and God's going to give them an idea to do, like a pop-up coffee shop, and that's the key to unlock the university to be able to preach the gospel. And like, he'll just give ideas for that.
That's amazing. Does anyone in this room feel like doing a pop-up coffee shop? Like that was maybe the Lord for you?
Let's go!
Whoa! That's awesome.
Yo!
Let's do 2 more.
Amazing.
Who? Over here. No way. Wow. Woo-hoo. That's awesome. Did any of the people that stood up we just prayed for hear something this time? Felt like they heard something? Impression? A gut feeling?
Come on.
Don't be shy. I know one of you did. I know exactly which one did. Come on, stand up.
Come on. Bold and courageous.
It's coming. Yeah, there we go. All right, loud and proud. That's amazing. That's right. So cool. Can you see when you go back to your campuses or your communities how hearing God's voice could fuel a prayer?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm one of those chicks, I run out of prayer after like 2 minutes. I'm like, revival, 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 revival. And God will tell me what to pray if I just ask him. So amazing. Derek, can you come back up here? We're just going to end this way. We had a question or two. Where did our friend go? There he is. You want to share your question again?
So my first question was that you were talking about having like a whiteboard time when you thought you heard God's voice, but it actually wasn't. That way we know what to look out for.
That's good, right?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
The first one is, I'm going to qualify this statement, okay? You want wise people that you can trust, that you can take big words to.
Yeah.
Now, the key is big words.
Big words.
Not every little thing.
You don't need every little thing. Like, God, I'm supposed to go to Chipotle or McDonald's. Like, obviously, you're not supposed to go to McDonald's. It's demonic.
Preach.
And so I'm not talking about those type of things, but if someone comes and someone gives you a word, like, you're supposed to move, or you're supposed to do something, maybe around wise people that you can trust. I'm going to qualify the word wise. Because Americans have a very specific term for what they mean wise. And my lifestyle has been called unwise by a lot of people, basically. And they think it's unwise usually because of money.
Yeah.
Usually because it's not necessarily safe.
Yeah, yeah.
And usually because it's not very comfortable.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And those are the three laws of the American dreams. The American dream is money, safety, and comfort.
Wow.
And so my lifestyle has directly opposed those things. I try to live that way. And so you want to find someone that's wise and has that understanding that you're not going to chase the American dream. They're not chasing the American dream. So you want to always give those bigger words to people that you can trust and have a biblical worldview and have a biblical understanding about how your life is supposed to look.
What was the three again? You said money?
Money, safety, comfort.
Safety and comfort.
What were you going to say?
I had a question.
Okay, hold on one second then. Second question was, repeat it again.
My second
question. Oh, I've never heard of that. Oh, totally. Yeah, no, you totally have, see, here's the thing. This is why I qualify New Testament prophecy versus Old Testament prophecy. If a prophet is what is scary territory,
yeah.
Old Testament, if you got something wrong under the law, you can get stoned.
Yeah.
So you don't want to mess around with that stuff. You also don't want to be running around giving false words to people.
Yeah.
And so it is important to understand that you are a human being. I don't care if someone called you a prophet, prophetic wizard.
Yeah.
I don't care what they called you. You are a human being.
Yeah.
And you see in part and you hear in part, so be humble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be humble in all
so
of this.
Good.
And so John Wimber, he's the founder of the Vineyard Movement,
yeah.
And God totally drew him into the gifts of the Spirit, a very solid teacher as well. And towards the end of his life, remember the Vineyard Movement's a big movement. He had about 1,000 pastors at a conference.
Yeah.
And he said, all of you want to be like me, but you don't want to look like an idiot like I do half the time. If you want to look like me, you're going to look like an idiot half the time. And so it's true. If you're going to step out in some of these more supernatural things, you got to step out. What if a person doesn't get healed?
Yes.
What if you don't hear it properly?
Yes.
Well, then that's the number one reason why people don't usually step out,
yes.
Is because they're scared.
Right.
If it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's where I'd say that. Is there anything
yeah.
you can say?
I'd just say, like, practice, practice, practice.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the more you get to, just like it said at the beginning here, the more you get to know Jesus, the more his voice sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So maybe the first times I'm stepping out and the prophetic is scary and new, but 3 years later, I'm like, oh, this is what I feel? Well, the last 20 times I felt this, it was God.
Yeah.
So he's going to show up again.
Yeah.
So you just get more familiar as you go, but I mean, goodness, some things are unexplainable as well. And you're like, I don't know what to do with that. And God's like, don't worry about it. Just put it in your pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
And then lastly, I'd say it's so important to intercede and pray.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll get dreams that are like, I don't know exactly what they mean, but I feel it's from the Lord. And if I personally don't take it to prayer and intercede, like, God, reveal what this means. Show me, show me. I take this on as my responsibility to understand it. Then I feel he pours out more.
So yeah, that's good.
Any other?
And for confirmation too, just back on that real quick, you can ask the Lord just to confirm it through natural events in your life. I mean, how many of you have ever had a word and the next day someone, like, for example, did Lindy talk about the butterfly thing yesterday?
No.
She didn't talk about her butterfly? Dang, it would have been perfect if she did. Just ask the Lord to confirm these things. So if you have a word, then, like, Lord, confirm it. The next day you walk past, someone told you you're supposed to go to Tunisia, and then all of a sudden the next day you meet someone from Tunisia.
Yeah, yeah.
You drive past the place and it says, Tunisia is the coolest. And you're
That's
weird, right?
Yeah.
So you can start to hunt down those things through, like, natural things that happen in your life.
So
I'm not saying always take those, but just be aware of those.
And you don't always need confirmation. You don't need confirmation always, you know? Sometimes God just, like, step out in faith, dude.
Yeah,
just go for it, you know? Okay.
I feel like you guys kind of answered, but my question was, like, when you receive something and, like, say, like, God is, like, so clear and you're, like, seeing something, how do you know what to share and what to
hold?
I'm okay about it. Where does that, like, I guess wisdom, like, come from? Like, okay, God, you gave me, like, a clear picture about this person's life and probably struggle with things, like, when do I know?
Yes. Oh, I've learned the hardest lessons through this, seriously. Sometimes I'll have this strong feeling about what somebody's struggling with in their life, like stronghold.
Yeah.
And maybe in the past I'd be like, you know, God wants to deal with your addiction to pornography. And they were like, how'd you know? You know, and they have fear and all this stuff. And I found it's effective sometimes, but sometimes it's speaking the opposite. So, for example, you know, I had a dream, something really bad happened to someone. And I called them and told them, and it happened in their life. And they had so much fear that it was going to happen. They had so much fear it was going to happen, and then it did. I don't feel like I walked that out right with the Lord at all. God gave me that dream to pray.
Yes.
And my job was to let them know, like, dude, I feel this assignment against your life, and I'm speaking out the opposite. We need to be in faith. We need to be fighting the enemy off. They would have been so much more encouraged than sitting around in fear waiting. So a lot of times when I hear something negative, I prophesy the positive. So I hear, hey, guys struggling with rage, I go, God has called you to peace, bro. It's time to step into peace. So that's a big lesson. You don't want to walk around as the angry prophet that's getting warning words about everyone. You know what I mean?
She talked about wisdom. People who are slow to speak, according to Proverbs, are wise.
Yeah.
And so don't be always so quick. You got a word and you're like, I just want to tell this person. Sit on it, pray on it. If you get a dream, we learned this one the hard way, especially with our families, is she would get dreams and we tell them the next day and it was just like chaos, you know, and it just threw everybody into a frenzy. So for us, we just learned to pray about it and share it at the right time. So there's a timing piece to those things as well. We're going to take a 5-minute break. At 11:30, we'll start again. Can we give Chloe a round of applause?
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.